So a couple weeks ago, we talked about how light equals life. We went through several examples of really light in the Bible and the importance of living in the light and how God is light and things surround it and that makes this light, life, light for us and how we can shine in it. But you know, we didn't talk about was the inverse of that, and that's the darkness. And that's what I want to talk about today. And the title of this lesson is The Darkness. You remember the example I had used was going down my stairs in the morning, and I couldn't see. And, you know, several times I'd go down, no problems. And then the time I tripped, I started to use my flashlight now on my phone, and I continue to do that today because I don't want to trip again. But see, here's the thing though, as I went a long time in this darkness of walking down these steps in the morning with no problem. So I assumed I was okay. I just continued to go down without a problem, without a care. But what about now? What if I choose to go back down that path and just continue to walk down these steps without a light? There's a problem, because I know one day I'm going to trip. One day I'm going to get seriously injured, and that day might be too late for me to turn around and to turn my light on. And you think about driving a car. Would you drive a car on a highway with your lights off? You know, there's a lot of roads out there that are pretty lit up, and you could probably get away with it. But you have other lights that's around you so you can see. And not to say that it was a good idea, but I tested this one time a long time ago when I was young and dumb. And when your lights are off, you don't see anything. It is the most scariest thing to be on a roadway without lights on in a car. So you wouldn't do that. So neither would you want to consider going through this life in the darkness. But see, the problem is we can get trapped in the darkness. And that's the scary part. And that's the part of our lives that we have to be aware of. And we have to check, are we trapped in the darkness? And I want to read some verses today that just mention the darkness and why it's important for us not to be trapped in it and surrounded by it. Turn with me to Matthew 25. We're very familiar with this parable, but it's important for us to see and bring some things out of it and see how our lives can be connected in to this specific parable. Matthew 25, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us.' But he said, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" So what can we take away here? So we see, for those that are wise, they are always continuing to walk in the light. They are always prepared. They always have light that's going to shine. They're never going to run out of light. Well, that's what we should be doing with our lives, is that we should be wise in making sure that we don't run out of light in this life. And we see those that were foolish. You know, they knew the bridegroom was coming. They were hoping for his return at any point. They didn't know when he was coming. So they decided to get lazy, and they let their light run out. They were now walking in darkness. And when the bridegroom came, they had no light. They were not ready. They were not prepared. And because of that, they were not able to go in to see this bridegroom. And the unfortunate part with these five foolish virgins is that they knew he was coming. They wanted to see him. They were so ready to see him, but they got caught up in their own selfish thinking, expecting that we'll just delay these things. We'll just delay getting extra oil for our lamps. We'll wait until he gets here, and then we'll get some extra oil. And then they were hoping, and sometimes we can do this, is that we can depend on others to give us that light. You know, we don't need to live in the light. We can live in darkness. I've got others who will help me outside of it, who will help guide me through this. No, that's not the expectation. Because those around you are living in the light, and you're living in darkness, isn't going to cover you. Isn't going to show who you are. Who you are is the only thing that's going to show in the forefront. You cannot depend on others to help your light shine. If you're living in darkness, that's what you are and that's who you are. But I warn you that you always want to be ready and prepared for the bridegroom. So it's important for us to make sure that we're not walking in darkness. And there's a reason for us to leave the darkness. And that's because Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the reason for us to leave the darkness. We do not need to live in darkness today. We should be showing our lights all the time throughout our lives. Turn with me to John 12. We were in John a lot when we did a couple weeks ago. We're not going to be in John as much. As a matter of fact, I think this is only two sets of verses out of John for this lesson. But if you go to John 12, look at starting in verse 44. You know, you got to remember, people are always looking for a sign. And, you know, that's the thing is, like, you know, at this time, the Jesus that they saw was not the Jesus that they wanted to believe in. And, you know, they were always looking for signs of when, you know, there's going to be this revelation for the return of this kingdom, the Israelite nation. You know, Jesus is already, he's the sign. He's already shown he's the one that was prophesied. And here he goes, he's going to go through and talk about, let's just read it in verse 44. It says, "And Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me, he who does not believe in me, let me get back and read that, sorry. And Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." So we see Jesus, specifically verse 46, says, "I came to get you out of the darkness. You're not to. I don't want you to remain there." And that's all dictated on the words that he's teaching. But here's the thing. He's not going to force you to believe in him. You're going to have to make that decision yourself. He's the example to show that I can get you out of this darkness, but it's up to you to accept it. And there will come a time in which you're going to be shown whether you accepted it or not. But Jesus isn't come here to say, "I'm going to judge you based on the way you're living right now." It's not his job. His job was to teach the truth and to get you out of the evil ways of this life. Otherwise, there's no way for any of us to get to heaven. And Jesus came here to fulfill a word, to fulfill a message, and then also to present to us the words that we are to follow. And if we don't follow those, then, you know, Jesus is going to be disappointed in every one of us. But he's going to make sure that on the last day, your actions is revealed to the Father. And the Father is going to dictate where you end up going based on the way you lived your life. So if Jesus came here to be the reason to get out of darkness, well, he should be the reason that we should be following him, that we should be believing in him. Turn with me to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 9. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness and patience, and joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified to us to share the inheritance of the saints in light." Look at verse 13. "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." So you see, Jesus rescued us from a life of darkness. But it's not a physical life. Like, you and I are walking today, we see light, we see everything around us. But it's a spiritual life of darkness. And we're going to talk later on about what it's like to have a spiritual life of darkness, very briefly. And it's not one that anybody will enjoy. But see, the problem is that you can walk right now in darkness and you don't have any consequences. There's zero consequences right now if you want to live a life opposite of the words you read here. Zero consequences. Now, you may have some consequences in terms of physical things, like if you commit specific crimes, but you see the world around us. The world has enjoyment. You see people thriving in this world that's living in darkness. But the consequences of those darkness will come one day. And those consequences are a forever situation in which you cannot get out of. It does not change. But those consequences are eternally brutal. And that's hard to recognize because we can't see it right now because we're still in this physical realm, physical mindset. But every one of us here, we're all spiritual beings. We're just holding a physical body. We go down to verse 21. Colossians 1:21. It says, "And although you were formerly alienated, hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation in heaven, and in which I, Paul, was made a minister." So stay firm in the right path. Continue in faith. Our faith is our establishment, the reason why we live the way we do. In our faith, it's either you have faith in this and you live according to it, or you don't. You have faith in something else and you're taking an assumption that you're going to be okay. You know, I've been told, you know, several folks that I've talked to about, and I think I mentioned this here before, but, you know, and where I've been asked the question, you know, what if you live this life according to this word, and you die, and it's all fake. It's none of it's real. It's blank. You just go to nothing. And I said, well, you know what? I'd rather take that chance, because what if I die in this life and I chose not to live this and it is real? Then what are you going to do? You can't turn back. I'd rather live a life, and I 100% know this is real, but I'd rather live according to this than die and have it happen the opposite way and think that it's not real and then realize it is. None of us want to find out that situation, because that situation is one you cannot get out of. Turn over with me to 1 Peter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 4. "And coming to Him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God, and had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust and wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So verse 9, delivered us from darkness and into the light. That is what we have when we have a belief and a following of this. But also our actions show that we are in this light and that we are out of this darkness. And it's important for us to recognize that our actions and how we're living these words, that's the true test and that's the true proof of who you are. You know, how are you around other people? How are you around in things that you do in private, things you do in secret? You know, everyone here has a life that only God sees. You know, when you're alone, what does that life look like? What are you doing? That's who you are. And then specifically when you're around other people, how are you acting? What are you saying? What are you doing? Those are the things that show whether you're in the light or whether you're living in darkness. And Jesus is the reason for us to leave the darkness. And then over in Acts 26, when Paul was in talking to Agrippa here, you know, he's going through why he's made this change. You remember Paul, he was once known as Saul. We're going to be reading starting verse 12 here in a minute. And, you know, he was living in darkness. It wasn't until he physically saw darkness with his eyes that he saw the light. It's when he became blind and he couldn't see anything, but he looked deep into his heart and he heard the voice of Jesus, and he made the change. And he became Paul. He became a light. You and I, we can become Pauls. You and I could actually do what's in the light today. We don't have to wait. We don't have to become blind on some road to make that decision. The decision has already been made for us, for you and I, because of the words we have as examples. And, you know, Paul is going to then go talk to Agrippa here, and he's going to tell Agrippa exactly the reason why he's in this situation, because they knew who Paul was. They knew Paul was this person who persecuted these Christians, and yet now he's on their side. Paul is the perfect example of someone who can show that Jesus and the message and our Father is real. Because he was somebody who was persecuting those who was telling him the thing that now he believes in. So you and I can see it's the truth as well. Let's look at Acts 26, starting in verse 12. It says, while so engaged as I was journeying to Damascus with authority and commission of the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you. rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may not, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedience to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. For this reason, some Jews seized me in the temple and tried to put me to death. So having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light to both Jewish people and to the Gentiles. So we see that the darkness here, and Christ, not only does he save us and he gets us out of the darkness, Paul was somebody who came out of it. And he's also is recognizing and telling Agrippa that that's his job, that I'm now got to do the same thing. My goal is to show the word and to help get the people out of the darkness, just like Jesus Christ did. And, you know, each and every one of us has to recognize that the darkness, when it's in our lives, and we're going to, I don't want to jump ahead, actually, because I just want to say that when you have darkness in your life, you really should be feeling it to the point to where you want to change. And, you know, Paul was blinded to it until he became blind. Some of us now can be living this life and we can be blinded to it. God's not going to make us blind, but his words will make you see. And that's what we need to recognize, is that how are we living our lives? Like, this life is something you need to give up. You need to move on from. This is not your life. Your life is the one after this one. That's your life. This is just our period of time that we're going through that's going to end. But this is not the life you should be enjoying. And this is not the life that you should be expecting to have it, to continue in a way that's against God's word. Turn with me to John 11. Let's just start in verse 6. So this is Lazarus, who is sick. Alright, so verse 6, it says, starting in verse 6, John 11. It says, so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of the sleep. So we see that without light, we stumble. Scenario, walking down the steps. Without light, I'm going to stumble. And see, Jesus here is going to go waken Lazarus so that people will stop stumbling. He's going to give them a miracle and say, look, I am the light. Here, let me prove to you. And by showing who he was, and by raising Lazarus, it's going to show that he is telling the truth. This is the light. This is the Son of God. Why are we walking this way? Why are we not believing this man? He literally just raised this man from the dead. What are we doing? And they still didn't believe him. And I've said this multiple times, I often question, like, how do you not believe this man who's doing these things? And if I put myself in these shoes, I tell myself, if I saw this, I know for a fact this is real. There's no doubt that I need to follow everything that this guy just said. But that's what these words are for. It's to put us back there. You are there. You just watched Lazarus be raised. you should have the same mindset as if you were here and believe in this. And the sad part is look how many people saw all this and they still didn't believe this man. They wanted to kill him. It made no sense to me. But it also doesn't make any sense for us to read these things and then not put ourselves in his shoes as if we were there watching this, witnessing a man on a cross being brutally murdered. I mean, tortured in a way that no one should have ever been tortured. And as we get towards the conclusion here, turn over with me to Psalm 139, 139. Starting in verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. So we see that overall, God is going to lead us out of any darkness that we may come upon or that we may have in our life. We just have to be willing to take it. We see here in verse 11, though, is the key point as we listen to David here. Just read it again. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me. So this is David internally putting this together. And the light around me will be night. You know what the problem is? Is that in this specific verse, what's happened to David? What's he saying? Darkness is light to him. That's a problem. If what we see as light is darkness, then basically what we've said is that we have given up and we've given in. And because of that, we have no way we can ever see the true light. Now, you know, David's going to go on to say that, you know, God is going to be the reason for us to always be out of the light. Following him, he's going to lead us out of the darkness. God's always going to lead us out of the darkness, you and I. However, we internally, if we don't reach out to God, if we don't look at the truth, what ends up happening is that we become blind to it and that the only light we see is darkness. Darkness is not light. You cannot see through it. You cannot be led through darkness. Turn over with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, and this will be the last set of verses. Because at the end of the day, the darkness all comes to a final fruition here. You know, we talked about the day of the Lord earlier, and it's the judgment. And for us, we only get one judgment, and it's the final one. There's not another judgment coming. The next time, the day of the Lord will be the final day. But I want us to look at something here, starting in verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. The day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be on alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. Go back to the very first parable that we talked about, the 10 virgins. exact same thing. This verse and that parable are the exact same thing. You're either prepared or you're not. You're either living and walking in darkness or you're not. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. It's either you're doing it or you're not doing it. And just like the virgins, you're not going to be able to prepare yourself the day that he arrives. It's too late. You should already be prepared and continue to prepare yourself. Continue to make sure your oil and your lamps are ready. And you know, the question is like, are you prepared? And I ask it another way. It's like, are you afraid of the dark? You know, there's a Nickelodeon show I used to watch, man, back in the day, called that, Are You Afraid of the Dark? The problem is that if you're not afraid of the dark, that's a problem. That means you're okay with the things that you're doing in this life, even though they're contrary to what you know and what God wants you to do. We have read multiple times in Ezekiel what happens to those people. We read multiple times in the New Testament what happens to those people. You should be afraid of the dark. You should be walking in light and living a life that entails that. But if you don't, there will come a time in which all those who walked in dark will live in eternal darkness. And I'm sure you guys have heard people say this too, that, you know, I don't care if I go to hell. I've got friends and family there too. Let me tell you something. You think you're going to see your friends and family there? You know where you're going to be? You're going to be in a place by yourself where there's nothing but weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're not going to be able to talk to anyone. You're not going to know anybody. You're going to be there where you can't see anything, and you're going to be in so much pain, and it's never going to be relieved. If you think you're going to go and see your old friends who lived a life that was in darkness, I can tell you right now, that's not how it's going to work. You're going to be by yourself, and the only person you're going to be calling for is the Father, and he's going to say, guess what? You're stuck. And none of us want to be stuck there. Not by ourselves. Why not walk in the light where we then can be together in the light with everyone? And guess what? You're probably going to know people sitting here today. I can guarantee you there's going to be a way around where you know each and every one of us. You're going to be able to see old comrades, is the term that's used in the scripture, who died in the past. Our prophets that we've seen, Moses and Noah, but ultimately God and Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's why I want to get home. And that's why each and every one of us should want to get home too. If there's anything that we can do to help you change your ways, your thing to come out of the dark, do that as together we stand and as we sit.